In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Welcome to In Christ, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel in Lubbock, Texas, with pastor and teacher Ben Martinez.
The acronym Too Busy is being under Satan's yoke, and he will try to get you so busy with life and kids and jobs and everything that you're exhausted. That's his MO. No. There are times when we have to go, I'm just going to rest today. And we feel guilty. Come on, church. We feel guilty when we sit down on our recliner and rest, but it's prescribed by Jesus.
Welcome to In Christ Radio, where we are continuing in our Servant King series, a verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Mark, as we explore the life of Jesus, our servant in sacrifice, and our King in glory. Today we cover chapter 6, verses 30 through 44, with the lesson titled, Running on Empty. The disciples have just returned from ministry, tired, hungry, and worn out. Jesus calls them away to rest, but the crowds follow. Instead of turning them away, the servant king has compassion. He feeds not only their souls with his teaching, but also their bodies with a miracle. 5 loaves, 2 fish, and more than 5,000 people satisfied. The lesson here, when we run on empty, Jesus is the one who fills. He meets us in our weakness, multiplies what little we have, and proves himself to be more than enough. It is okay to rest. Jesus calls us to rest. When you feel exhausted or overwhelmed, do you turn to your own strength or to Jesus, the one who can supply abundantly more than you need? So grab your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44, in the lesson titled, Running on Empty. Here's Pastor Ben.
In Christ, I have his righteousness. In Christ, I have what I confess. In Christ, I don't worry about all the rest. 'Cause everything I need to be in Christ.
The story last week also suggests that the mission of the disciples followed the death of John the Baptist. See where it's positioned. Okay, the mission of our church is following Jesus. And so that brings us up to speed. Today we're walking with Jesus and we're going to take a look. Go with me to Mark chapter 6, verse 30. It says, then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Wow. Okay. So we pick up the mission from when he sent them out. Okay. This is the debrief. Jesus says, hey, guys, come on in. Tell me what happened, man. And so the apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told them all they had done, all they had taught. They told them, and you've got to understand, this is amazing. But I want to show you something that's going to jump out of the text. First and foremost, you go, how so? Go back with me to verse 1 of chapter 6. Mark writes, then he, speaking of Jesus, went out from there and came to his own countries. Here's the line I want you to see. And his disciples followed him. Everybody say disciples. Okay. So Mark here calls them disciples. If you want to know what a disciple is, jot this down. It's a learner. It's a pupil. That's what a disciple is. Today, you guys, God is calling you from being church attenders to disciples, to learning and growing in God's word. This is what disciples are. Why? He's going to send you out with a purpose. Oh, no. Pastor, I don't want to be a missionary. All of us are missionaries, but we're missionaries in our neighborhoods. We're missionaries at the mall. We're missionaries at our job. And he's going to call us out. Now, verse 1. Now jump over to verse 7. This is the mission trip. Look at verse 7 with me. And he called the 12 to himself. And he began to send them out 2 by 2, and he gave them power over clean spirits. Okay, you see that? You go, Ben, what's your point? When we come to verse 30, Mark doesn't employ the word disciples. He doesn't just leave it blank. He calls them apostles. Wait. Something's changed. Yeah. You see the word apostles here in the Greek is apostolos, and it means to delegate ambassadors of the gospels, where we get our English term missionary. Missionary. You go, wait, but what's changed? I'll tell you what's changed. You ready? They're growing in the Lord. How so? Follow me over here. Disciples following Jesus. Okay. They're watching him do miracles. You guys with me? They're watching him do a miracle. Oh, this is crazy. Then they move to going out themselves. And now he calls them apostles. Apostles, something's changed. They're growing. But because they're growing, you and I have to chat a little bit about apostles. You see, God wants us to grow from attenders to disciples. And yet, others would say, yeah, and then I'm from disciples, we need to be apostles. Oh, hold on. Slow down. We don't have modern day apostles. Wait a minute. That's not true. I know somebody in Dallas that calls himself Apostle so-and-so. Okay, let me explain biblically why. Okay, give me a minute. According to scripture, these are the qualifications for an apostle. Number one, okay, you had to be an eyewitness of the resurrected Christ. Anybody see Jesus lately? We haven't seen him. Now, here's how I would get around it if I was going to do this. I see Jesus in you. I see the resurrected Christ. No. According to 1 Corinthians 9, it says you had to see him. Paul the apostle saw Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, in that bright light. So Paul then was an apostle. So here's the thing, guys. When you're turning on TV or whatever and say, well, let me introduce you to Apostle so-and-so. He's more like a missionary because he hasn't seen the risen Christ. That's a requirement of the Bible. Be careful. Be careful. The second thing is they have to be explicitly chosen by the Holy Spirit, and they have the ability to perform signs and wonders, according to Acts 2:43 and 2 Corinthians 12:12. You go, Ben, what's the point? Here's the point, guys. The responsibility of the 12 apostles, their goal back was to lay the foundation of the church. 2,000 years later, we're still not laying that same foundation. It's already been laid. What are we doing? We're building the church. We have the foundation. You go, okay, so what's your point? There's no modern day apostles. There's a lot of missionaries, a lot of sent out ones, but there's not an office of the apostle, okay? So what does he do? Mark employs that term. Now, we know that Mark is getting his information from Peter, but we know that Peter's not filled with pride going, okay, hey, Mark, right, apostle. Yeah. No. I was a fisherman, but now I'm an apostle. He's not doing that because God doesn't call us to walk in pride. He calls us to walk humility. As a matter of fact, Paul, I bet you Peter's like, don't even say that. But he says, no, there's an office. So he calls him and he says, look at verse 31. He called him and he says, come alongside yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Okay? Now, for there were many coming and going, and they did not have time to eat. Now, here's what you need to know. Verse 31 lays the principle for our study today. It lays the principle. You go, how so? I want you to think about what Jesus said. Then Jesus said, hey, guys, listen, that was amazing. You did what? Wow, that was crazy. Yeah, God is good. Amen. And Jesus is just encouraging him. He goes, hey, guys, let's get away. Let's get away and let's go to a quiet place and how about we rest? And he realized this because the text says that so many people were coming and going that they didn't even have time to eat. They didn't have time to eat. The disciples, at this point, we could say they're running on empty. They're running on empty. You see, their lives are filled with ministry and fellowship and life and all the other things. But they're running on empty. And I think you and I can learn a lesson. What do you mean, Pastor? When it comes to us, we too can run on empty. And if you're taking note, there are three main categories that we experience this. You go, what are they? Number one, physically. Jot that down. Physically. Listen, when the disciples came back to Jesus, they were exhausted. And you and I, we expect them to push it through. Why? Because simply they're working for Jesus. Come on, you're working for Jesus. Let's go. And they're like, physically. The reality for them and us is prescribed what Jesus just did. You guys ready? Let's get away. Let's get away from the noise and let's take time to rest. To rest physically. Now, I know this sounds like Captain Obvious. You go, what do you mean? To rest. We hear that all the time. Hey, well, you just need to rest. You just need to rest. You just need to rest. Philip, you need to rest. And Philip's like, you don't think I know that? Anthony, you need to rest. If we don't make time or take time to rest, we will burn out physically. Our tanks will run empty. And by doing this, listen to me, you limit what God can do through your life. You see, there are churches today that would be saying, okay, guys, we got to push through. Let's go. Francis, let's go. Push through. No. I'm telling you to rest because we'll get more out of you for the kingdom when you're physically rested. Guys, take time. Here's the point. Take time. This is what Jesus prescribed. He says, rest physically. Remember, okay, jot this down. Don't be busy. The acronym to busy is being under Satan's yoke. And he will try to get you so busy with life and kids and jobs and everything that you're exhausted. You're exhausted. That's his MO. Oh, I gotta do that. No. There are times when we have to go, I'm just gonna rest today. And we feel guilty. Come on, church. We feel guilty when we sit down on our recliner and rest. But it's prescribed by Jesus. So when my wife tells me this afternoon, are you going to do that? I'm going to say, yep, Jesus told me I could do this. Amen. I'm just going to rest. Guys, take time to rest. Okay, you ready? You ready? Things will get done. Why are you laughing? I know, because you're like my wife. My wife's like, I've got to get this done. It'll get done eventually. You go, well, Ben, what's the point? Perspective, guys, that extra load of laundry is not going to matter 100 years from now. But you taking a rest will. Jesus says, guys, we need to rest. We need to take some time. We need to do this. Look at verse 32 with me, church. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. You guys with me? But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. Him is capitalized. It's Jesus. Now, notice, what are they doing? They're trying to get away. They're trying to get away. Jesus says, guys, fellas, let's go. We're going to get away. And they're trying to be obedient to what Jesus says. But verse 33, notice what we see. We see, and you can jot this down, make a little note. We see life happening metaphorically. You go, what do you mean? For the disciples in our text, a lot of the people recognize Jesus, looked and said, hey, they're leaving. And what do? They start running from all over to follow Jesus. Many of them are like, oh, they're going to Galilee. Oh, they're going to Capernaum, wherever they might be going. And so can you imagine? Guys, put on your thinking caps. The people from the towns ran ahead along them and got there way ahead of them. And I could imagine what the disciples thought. There you are. Jesus says, let's get away. And they're like, oh, thank God. Oh, him. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, you're here. Okay. And so we get in the boat, and then all of a sudden they see the multitude going, and he's like, Lord, what do you think they thought? Here's the thing. They're like, are you kidding me? Seriously, Lord? Hey, Jesus, do you see them? Lord, I'm tired. You see, they're, guys, jot this down. Point number two. This is the second characteristic. Number one, physically, but number two, jot this down emotionally. Emotionally. This is the second point you and I must consider. So they're physically tired, but they're emotionally drained as well. So, question. What do you do if you realize you're emotionally exhausted? You know, physically, you can kind of push through. Okay, I'll get up. I'll do that. Yeah. Oh, my husband needs clothes for tomorrow. Okay. Physically, you do it. What if you're emotionally? I found somebody in scripture that teaches us a good lesson. When Elijah faced that experience when he was emotionally drained, God led him to do three things to help him recover. And these are things that can help us recover too. when you feel like, man, I'm at wit's end. Number one, he says, rest your body. You go, duh, that's what you said. We've already talked about this. But if your mind goes to Psalm 23, remember what the psalmist wrote. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Guys, that's physical rest. That's physical rest. Why do you think the Lord prescribed a Sabbath for Israel? Because they won't rest. He says from Saturday night at 6 to Sunday night, Friday night at 6 to Saturday night at 6, you're going to rest. And if you don't, it's against the law. What would we do? What would we do? We're supposed to rest. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do when you're emotionally exhausted is to take a nap. There you go. That's what I was waiting for. How is it yesterday when I had my grandson, 3 years old, he fought me just a little bit to take a nap. And as adults, that's all we want to do. You remember your preschool days. I don't want to take a nap. Now we're like, please let me take a nap. Some of you will go, just five minutes. Let me close my eyes for 5 minutes. And the next thing you do, you wake yourself up snoring, don't you? We're tired, but take a nap. Number two, he tells Elijah, he says, now this is key, release your frustrations. What do you mean? Revealing your feelings is the beginning of healing. How so? In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 10, Elijah says this to God, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword, and I'm the only one that's left. And now they're trying to kill me too. Do you see what he's doing? Elijah didn't hold anything back. He didn't filter his feelings. He told God all of his frustrations. Guys, we have to just tell the Lord. He understands. God's not looking going, wait, what you did? What? He just knows our hearts sometimes. And sometimes we go, Lord, I am just done. And it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to rest. You just, Lord, I just need to be renewed. The third thing we see in Elijah, it's to remember and then refocus on God. When you're emotionally exhausted and nearing burnt out, you need to remember what God says and who he is. When we do that, we shift our eyes away from our problem and towards Jesus. So we rest physically. We come back to the Lord. Lord, emotionally, I don't know. The disciples are like, oh, there they go. Ah. But those are things we need. Guys, we need to rest our body. We need to release our frustrations. It doesn't have to be angry and you don't have to, but you can just get alone with God and just tell him, Lord, This is what's going on. I'm crying out to the Lord. David did all the time in the Psalms. So you see what's going on here. Let's jump back in our text. Verse 34, it says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like a sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, the disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Now, we need to chat just a little bit. It's not that the disciples were frustrated in wanting the day to end per se. You ever have those days where it's like, man, I just want this day to end. Are you kidding me? It's not that. Why? Because they understood the mission. Now, when we read the first verse, and when Jesus came out and he saw the multitudes, you and I were thinking the same thing. Lord, send them away. We'll do ministry tomorrow. Give us a couple of days, Lord, please. We just want to hang out with you and sit at the feet of Jesus. Lord, please. He didn't do that. Jesus had compassion on them. He feels their compassion. But see, Jesus sees the big picture. And sometimes when you and I get that physical rest, get that emotional rest, it helps us see the bigger picture of mission and what God has called us to do. I'm going to show you this in just a little bit. And so what happens is Jesus loves on them. He teaches them. And finally, way into the day, they come to Jesus and say, Lord, excuse me, hold on. Wait right there. Jesus, it's getting late. It's getting really late. Do me a favor. We're a long way out in the country. Send the crowds away so they could at least go to the farms and the villages and they could eat something. That's a good request, isn't it? Hey, Lord, we love people. They need to eat. We haven't eaten. That's probably a good thing. But Jesus does something very interesting. Note the response. But he answered and he said to them, "You give them something to eat." Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Well, Lord, oh, I'm sorry. Come here. Maybe you didn't understand what we said. There's a lot of people. There's 5,000 plus women and children. There's a lot of people. There's nowhere here to eat. And, you know, we passed a village. There's, you know, send them. Let them go. Class over. Dismissed. And the Lord looks at you and goes, "You feed them." Wait. So here's the response. Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give everybody a little something? I don't know if the disciples got together and said, "Hey, I think Jesus is losing it, man. You know, I mean, I think he's the Messiah and all, but I think he's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, because how in the world, I mean, what is he saying? Check it out." Because that brings us to number three, spiritually. You go, wait a minute. Yeah, physically, emotionally, these guys are drained spiritually. How so? Well, the text doesn't say, but we can glean that the disciples are running on empty spiritually. You go, Ben, how so? Because I want you to note their reply. They're going, with what? How are we going to feed them? We have to work for months, the text says, to earn enough money to buy food for all these people. Now, put on your thinking caps, church. Within our text, we simply see an exchange of conversation about the feeding of the multitude. But if we dig deeper, we discover more. You go, how so? These guys have walked with Jesus. In the first phase, they saw Jesus do miracles. They saw people come back to life. They saw him do incredible things. You know it. John says that there are things written that we'll never know. That if they wrote them, the books would go to heaven. So they saw this. And in the second phase, guys, they experienced firsthand the casting out of demons and the healing of people. They saw this. So why are they spiritually exhausted? Well, could it be that they're simply spiritually exhausted so much that they forgot who Jesus was? You're saying none of their responses would have been, "Well, Lord, you're God. You're God. We can feed him. We have faith. We trust in you, Lord." None of them were like, "Okay, Lord, how do you want to do this? What steps of faith do we need to take? What? Where?" None of them were like that. They were like, "Okay, how are we going to do? How much money? You know?" In Christ.
That was Pastor Ben Martinez in the Servant King series, a verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Mark. As Pastor Ben reiterates time after time, the message of Mark's gospel is captured in a single verse. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Chapters 10, verse 45. Chapter by chapter, the book unfolds the dual focus of Christ's life, service and sacrifice. Mark portrays Jesus as a servant on the move, instantly responsive to the will of the Father. By preaching, teaching, and healing, he ministers to the needs of others, even to the point of death. After the resurrection, he commissions his followers to continue his work in his power, servants following in the steps of the perfect servant. As we walk through this gospel together, may we be challenged to follow Jesus with boldness, serve with humility, and proclaim the good news with passion. So join us next time as we continue in the Gospel of Mark.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry, and by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com, simply hit the donate button. If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast, with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.
In Christ, I have His righteousness. In Christ, I have what I